All right, before we get in the Bible, I do want to say thank you. My last time up, and I wanted just to say my appreciative thoughts for just your hospitality, taking care of me, and just your good fellowship. It's been a joy and a blessing to be together. And we're going to spend most of our time in the book of Corinthians this morning, or tonight, 1 Corinthians 11. But it's going to take me a while to get there. The message is pretty short, but we'll take a few detours before we get to the 3 points. You know, Jesus said you can discern the sky, the face of the sky, but how is it that you cannot discern this time? Or how is it that you cannot discern the signs of the times? I heard it said by a preacher of yesteryear that nothing was more rare in his day, and there was no greater scarce commodity than that of discernment. And when he said that, which that was about 60 years ago, I thought, well, where are we now? And discernment, we have that word in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I would give a testimony of thanks to the Lord that, it's a strange thanks, but thankful for this carnal church, whereby so many things were written that would help us. If all those churches were perfect, no problems, I don't know what all would have been written to them, just in case. Though this is not happening, but Corinth, it was happening. So we get some benefit there. But the great passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is concerning, at the end of the chapter, of course, the ordinance of the Lord's table, the communion time. And there is a important word that I used previously from Jesus' words in verse 29, where the Bible says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And that's what I want to preach about tonight, but we want to talk about discernment. Let's pray together. Father, would you please help your people and make your word the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. And may you save us from our troubles, ourselves, this generation. God, work in our hearts. Point us to yourself. Lord, bless this good pastor and his family. And we pray that you would lead them not into temptation, but you'd deliver them from evil, that you'd help them and use them for your glory. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The first reference to discernment in the Bible is in Genesis 27, when it was speaking of Isaac, how Isaac did not discern that the boy that was in front of him was Jacob instead of Esau. And the reason that he did not discern that was because his eyes were dim and he was blind. He couldn't see well. There was probably a deeper problem, because it was very evident that Isaac preferred Esau, even though the Bible said he was a profane person. Even though that God had told his wife that that's where the blessing would lie and that he would be the one that would rule over his brother, for some reason the preference of Isaac was toward Esau, and that was a bad discernment in itself. Let alone the coming of the boys to him and him, he not discerning who Jacob was. But anytime anyone prefers a profane individual over a blessed individual, there's something wrong with their discernment. But Isaac did not discern correctly because he couldn't see. He was blind. As we look at the passage, or we will look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 11 about God's people not discerning the Lord's body, the first reason I would say that we don't do that is because we ourselves are blind also. Blindness is usually something that is characteristic of people that are lost. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. But, you know, the last three references in the Word of God to blindness do not have to do with the lost. They have to do with you and me. Well, just look at them. 2 Peter, some of you look like I just did something wrong, so I'll read them to you. In 2 Peter, the Bible says in chapter 1, because I want to understand what it takes to be a discerning individual, because I don't, you know, this generation can't discern anything. You know, if you can't stand in the mirror and discern your biology, you're dumber than a rhino. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't have the sense God gave the animals. They understand that. Let alone, well, you know, I'm glad these young people up here. Brother Lee was talking about generation, or the millennial generation. Generation Z, that's the teens right now. The younger ones, they can't discern that Tide Pods go in the washing machine instead of their mouths. That's pretty bad discernment. And I can't even talk in church about what they're putting up their nose right now. I mean, the discernment of humanity is gone. Let alone discerning, I'm just talking about discerning common, ordinary facts of the universe and of life. Not even spiritual discernment. But the reason that we even, as God's people, don't have the discernment we should have, and that the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 did not have, I think they were blinded by something that prevented them from seeing and discerning what was important or what they were doing wrong. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll read, he said verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things," he's talking to saved people in the text, "but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off," just like Isaac was, "and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Here is a blind Christian that has forgotten things and cannot even discern his own salvation. Now, I know there are people that go to church that need to be saved, that think they're saved and they're not saved. But you know, there's a lot of people that have been born again and they have so much confusion that they don't even discern that they're a child of God. And it's written right here. He forgot he was... How can you forget all these songs we're singing about our sin being taken away? Our sin. How can you lose the discernment that you're a child of God and that your sins are forgiven? How do you get to that place? Well, the context of this, you just quit growing.
That's right.
And by your failure to grow in the Lord and add to your faith, you became blind. He that lacketh these things is blind. Lacketh what things? All these things you're supposed to be adding to your faith. In other words, if we as God's people fail to continue our journey to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, if we fail to continually add to our faith until we come to that measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, in that path of our life, we ourselves will become blind and we ourselves will fail to have the discernment, because blind people can't discern things. Look at the second to the last reference. 1 John 2. So a growth problem. Why do people not have discernment? Why are they blind? Well, because they just won't grow anymore. They just say, this is as far as I'm going with God. Or I'm satisfied with my Christian life. I hope you're not satisfied with your Christian life. I hope that you're wanting to add something to your faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Just like Isaac was blind, he could not discern that between Jacob and Esau. Here the Bible says we can be blinded. Our eyes can be blinded as well. And this is not a failure to grow in the Lord or a failure to add to our faith. This is a heart problem. We get some hatred in our heart. And that hatred in our heart blinds us. And we have no discernment. We are just as lost in understanding things as the generation in which we live in a different manner, spiritually speaking. And then the last reference to blindness, of course, is in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. So discernment comes from blinded eyes. Blinded eyes in the Christian life come from not adding to your faith, not growing in the Lord. It comes from a heart problem because you just can't get over something and you hate somebody, you don't love them. And it can also occur because, Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, you know this story of the Laodiceans. And the Bible says in verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor," and there's the last reference to blindness. And blind and naked, and it's the church that's blind. The church is blind because of their lukewarmness. The church is blind because they're confident in themselves. The church is blind because through their pride they think they have all they need and they do not see their great need of the Lord. And people that are in such a condition have no discernment. I don't know where that lie in the Corinthians. But they did not discern what they needed to discern, and it cost them their lives, some of them. See, it doesn't matter what we don't know. And it can affect us greatly and others around us. Well, people can't discern things because of blindness. People also can't discern things because they're children. You remember that last couple verses there in the book of Jonah? And God's reasoning with Jonah. He says, "Why shouldn't I spare Jonah? There are 64,000 persons there that can't discern between their right hand and their left hand. They don't know that that's their right. They don't know that that's their left. They don't know the difference." I tell you what, you got a problem when you don't know which hand's which. But if you're a child, and that's what I think that's referencing to, unless you think it's, you know, mentally handicapped people, or whatever we're supposed to say that today. People that can't get all, you know, they just have a mental issue. It's either that or they're children. You go up to the nursery and ask the baby which is the left hand. They'll look at you and say, "Where's the toy?" or something, you know. I mean, there's no discernment there. Children have no discernment. The Bible speaks of those in Deuteronomy chapter 1 about they did not understand the difference between good and evil. A child can't discern that. A child doesn't discern the good, and he doesn't discern the evil. When they're such at a young age, they don't compute that. They're just living life. You know how many people are saved by the grace of God and they're just so childish that they're just living life and they have no discernment that about what they're fixing to step into is going to be a pit of vipers and snakes that's going to ruin their life? They can't see the ditch on this side or the ditch on that side. They can't see the blessings that are ahead. They're children. Just children. You know, today with discernment, you know, the Bible says in Job chapter 34, verse 3, it says, as the ear trieth words, and as the mouth tasteth meat. You know, your ear is supposed to discern things. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this healthy? Is this from God? Is this from the devil? I'm convinced that most people, they can't discern when the devil's talking to them, when God's talking to them. And they can't discern a preacher sent from God to them and a preacher sent from hell to them. I mean, you take the average person. They can't discern a false prophet from a... Because all they're discerning is the package, usually. They're looking at the wrapping of the box instead of what's in the box. And they'll judge everything by the tone or how it sounds, but they can't discern, this is not what my family needs. But you know, in reverse, the hyper-spiritual people are that way too. You know, if you have the right tone and have the right cadence in your preaching, you can bring the house down in some places, even if you don't say nothing. Because there wasn't any discernment that the message I never, man, it's at least 25 years ago. Brother James may not even remember this. Brother James and I were in a fellowship meeting. I don't know who was fellowshipping, but I don't think we were. But we were in that meeting, and it was filled with all these people, you know. And so a guy got up to preach. And he got up to preach, and I mean, they were swinging from the rafters. I'm telling you, it was like Jesus Christ just came back to earth. And the more the preaching, and you know, I know you won't think this, but I'm not really critical by nature. I do try to get a blessing from everything. But the more that guy, you know, I got my Bible, I'm attentive, I'm listening. And the more he's preaching, and I'm looking around, and the more they're hooping and hollering, and I'm listening. And as my ear is trying the words,
yeah.
And as my mouth is tasting the meat, there ain't nothing there but styrofoam. And then I look over at Brother James, and Brother James is just sitting there. And me and Brother James, the only two people in there, not swinging from the rafters. And those people didn't have a clue at the false doctrine that they were hearing, but it was being said in such a package that they couldn't discern that what they were being sold was not God's truth for them. And I never forget the reason I remember this. We got up and we were walking, and Brother James looked at me and I looked at him and I said, "What was that?" He said this. He probably didn't remember this. He said, it's 25 years ago. He said, he quoted the verse in Proverbs, "The fool soul loatheth the honeycomb." That's what he said. "But to the hungry, every bitter thing is sweet."
Yeah.
Just no discernment. No discernment that... And people don't have to... You know, the things that will help your family and help your heart, you've got to discern that this is what I need. Why do we not have discernment? And I'm trying to get to the message, but I'm not there. But I'm going quickly. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. How do you get discernment then? How do I get that? Well, Brother James mentioned it last night in his preaching the first way. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible said in verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a what? A discerner." Well, the first way to get discernment is get the discerner. I mean, that'll help. Look at chapter 5. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 11, "Of whom you have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Boy, that's so nice. Of saying something a different way. Verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." There's the children again. Verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to" what? "To discern both good and evil." You cannot have good discernment without exercise in the Word of God. Just like the preaching was last night. You open the Bible, you're having an exercise. Looking into the book, letting it discern you, and then working that in and out of your life daily so you can see the good and the evil. You can't have discernment without a proper relationship and exercise with the Word of God. And the exercise with the Word of God is not just reading it or listening to it, it's doing something with it. In other words, when you get the message, when God puts His finger on it and you understand it, this is good, you do the good. Because him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. And then when you see the bad and you discern this is bad in my life, you go do something about the bad. That's exercise. And what happens is if we fail to exercise ourselves in the Word of God in that way, we'll come to the place we have no discernment. Hence the society that you live in. The second way to get discernment, we don't have to turn to it, we can write it down. You can pray for it. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 and verse 11, Solomon, when he prayed to God, he prayed for discernment. You can read it. He asked God for discernment. God said, "Whatever you want, what do you want?" He says, "Discernment." I want a discerning heart. My goodness. What would you ask for if God came to you and just said, I'll give you anything you want? I don't even know how far down the list I would get. Discernment? And his best friend's over there going, really? God Almighty said He'd give you everything, and the one thing you asked for was a discerning heart? Yeah, He got it. And no one had more wisdom than Solomon. Right? Oh, what a big deal is that? It's a very big deal. James chapter 1, what does it say to us? Do you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. That what? Giveth. To all men liberally, that breaketh not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You ask in faith, God will give you wisdom. That is automatic. If you ask God in faith for wisdom, He didn't give it to you, He'd be a liar. Let me ask you, have you never had the wisdom you needed? Do you need discernment in your life? I'm telling you, there was a group of Christians in Corinth that were going to the funeral home and burying their loved ones in the church because they had no discernment. And all they would have done to get it is ask for it. Now, how many things in our lives have we blown it when we didn't ask God? We could have asked God for wisdom. Where is that on our prayer requests? Where is that in our prayer meetings? I tell you what, as a boy, I can see myself right now on my mom's knees at 5 or 6 years old and in family devotions, and my mom would bow her head and she'd pray, oh God, give Brent wisdom. And I heard that prayer. I heard that prayer 5,000 times. And I heard that prayer so much, I'd hate to even hear that prayer. And I heard that prayer and I thought, what does she think? I'm so stupid. And I got to where I didn't even want to hear that prayer. And I said, Mom, why do you keep praying that God give me wisdom? She said, because you need wisdom. I'm 6 years old. I want to play. She begged God to give me wisdom. She could have begged God for a lot of things. Keep him from this. Don't let him get hurt. Don't let him get killed. She said, Lord God, give him wisdom. I wonder why we don't pray that. Why do we not have discerning enough hearts to pray for what God promises to give us? Is it because we want to be stupid? Is it because we think we know enough ourselves? You know, the best thing you could do for your family is pray God give you wisdom for your family. The best thing you could do in your church, you can pray that God give you wisdom for your church, for your pastor, for your life. Everybody, the people that messed their lives up, they couldn't have prayed for wisdom and faith. Had no discernment. What a simple truth. Pray, God will give it to you. And it's so simple. When's the last time you prayed for it? Or pray somebody else would get it. Number three, how do I get wisdom? Ezekiel chapter 44. Well, you get it from the discerner of the Bible. You get it, you can pray for it. God will give it to you. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. The Bible lets us know that we can get wisdom by being taught it. We can get discernment by somebody teaching us. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23, the Bible says, and they shall teach my people the difference. You see that? Between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Somebody in your life can teach you to have discernment. You know, I didn't ever think I would deal with this. You know, I've had to talk with people in the last year that have tried to argue with me about whether smoking dope was wrong. Well, you just say we ought to go by the Bible. Yeah, well, it's not in the Bible. There's a lot of things not in the Bible. And I know your answer, you say, well, why didn't you say there's a principle there? Oh, I said that. But see, my principle wasn't their principle. Well, that's just the way you see that principle. It doesn't say that. There's nothing in the Bible about vaping. Right? Where's that in the Bible? There's nothing in the Bible. Why can't I get tattoos all over my body? You know, there's some wackos out there. They say they know the book of Revelation. This is a new trend where God says, he that overcomes, I'll write upon him the name of my God. What? Have you heard this? And I'll write upon him the name of the city of my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. And they say, see that right there, God gives people tattoos. You know what's wrong with that? Nobody ever sat that person down and said, this is stupid and this is good. It is not good to color on ourselves. Nobody taught them. There are things that I have discerned, can't come to discernment in my life, that mom and dad and just growing up said, hey, look, this is not for you. This is not smart. And just get taught it. But how? Why are the parents the dumb ones? Why is the preacher and the people that lived before, they just don't know what they're talking about. You just live in a different generation. Hey, there are things I do today that my dad said, son, this is not going to be good for you. You don't need to do it. And I don't have a Bible verse on it, but I took his lesson of discernment and I said, okay, I'm going to stay away from that. Do you have discernment? How else? A fourth thing. I'm trying to get the message. How do I get discernment? Because you need discernment. It can cost you your life as a Christian. You get discernment from the discernment, the Word of God, and exercising it. You get discernment from praying and asking God for it. You get discernment by listening to someone else that teaches you good discernment. And number four, you get discernment by getting so acquainted with the real and genuine article that every other thing is very obviously not right. I'll give you the scripture for that. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow. How do they know the difference between the stranger and the shepherd? How do they know the difference between his voice? Because they've heard that voice so much. They've been around that shepherd so long. They know that shepherd so intently. They're not following a thief. They're not following a robber. They're not following a stranger. They're not following a hireling. Because they know the shepherd's voice. And would to God we would fall in love with the Lord and know him so much that there is just a discerning spirit in us that says, that's not about him.
Amen.
And that's not even something that's taught. That's something of your closeness to the Lord. And something in your heart says, you know, there's something not right about that. That doesn't ring true with Jesus. That's why we know this generation knows, they don't know who Jesus is, or they wouldn't be impressed with all the fakeness of religion. You're getting a real Holy Ghost service where God is honored and people are fed and God is working. And that other stuff out there does not impress. But we're living in a generation that has never gotten close enough to the genuine. The last discernment. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We can just go there because we're going to stay there the rest of the time. Did you know discerning of spirits is a gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12? So discernment is also something that the Spirit of God will give you. That book says try the Spirit. Take I'm not getting off. 1 Corinthians 2, let me read this. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual discernment, do you have it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they did not have it, or they didn't use it. And what they did not discern, the Bible says, in verse 29, they did not discern the Lord's body. What does that mean? Well, you say, well, they're having communion here, and they're not thinking about Jesus dying on the cross. Well, partly. But look at chapter 6 of the same book. Because right before he says that, he does talk about the body of Christ, and he talks about it in another setting. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God should destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us all by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he should be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know, number one, who the Lord's body was? This is the Lord's body. He bought this. He indwells this body. He has taken ownership of this body. This is not my body. This is the Lord's body. What was happening in communion? They were instructed to examine themselves. They were instructed to look into themselves and find anything that was unworthy in them. They were supposed to be looking into their lives. They were supposed to judge their own selves. And they had no discernment to judge themselves about the things done in the body, because they thought this was their body and not the Lord's body. Is anybody following what I'm saying? In other words, how you live your life, God Almighty bought this body. Do you know, if you had the discernment to know that these don't belong to you, you would probably do different things with them. If you had the discernment to know, I'm not going to steal what someone else paid for. I'm telling you, people of God, we live our lives every day, and we're not discerning that this is His body. And so we live our lives in a different fashion than He wants us to live. And so what happened in 1 Corinthians 11? They didn't judge themselves, so God judged them. And there were many that were sickly, weak, sickly among them. What was weak and sickly among them? The thing that they had not accounted to be the Lord's body, but their own. I tell you what, the next time you dress the Lord's body, you ought to think about it. What He wants to put on it. The next time you take the Lord's body somewhere, you ought to discern where it's going. The next time you take those ears and listen, you better think about what God wants to listen with His ears. You better examine yourself and judge yourself. This is not my body. This is not my life. Somebody bought and paid for this. This is His. Have you discerned that? I know a lot of God's people that have never discerned that. Not discerning the Lord's body, what else could that be? Well, look at chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the, what? The body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one what? One body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. What does He do in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians after speaking about not discerning the Lord's body in chapter 11? In chapter 12, He says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And from then all the way down to the end of the chapter, He's talking, verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." What were they doing at communion that caused them not to discern the Lord's body? What was something that they were doing? Well, the Bible said in verse 18 of chapter 11, when they came together in the church, there were divisions among them. You see that? Verse 20, when you come together, there's the church. "Therefore, into one place it's not eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Verse 33, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." He's trying them to think, get them to think about one another. Yeah. "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation." What is the body? Who's the Lord's body? This is the Lord's body. What else is the Lord's body? The church is the Lord's body. And the Corinthians were conducting themselves like some of the church didn't matter. They were being disrespectful. They were fighting. They were strife. And they weren't discerning that this church is the Lord's body. And they were coming together in an unworthy way. And God wasn't pleased. He says, you need to be caring for one another. You need to be loving for one another. You need to be coming together. You need to be having communion. What does it mean to have communion with the body of Christ? It's not eating that wafer, man. We're the body. How many people come to church and they don't commune with the body? Because they don't even discern this is the Lord's body.
Right.
Is this too much?
No.
You know, the next time you make a decision that hurts the Lord's body, why don't you stop and have a little discernment about it?
Amen.
And say, what is this decision that I'm about to make? How is it going to affect the Lord's body? Instead of, how is this going to affect my family? Or how this is going to affect me? Do you believe the church is the body of Christ? We don't have to go to Ephesians to go through all those verses, do we? You understand the principle that the church is the body of Christ. Well, if it's the body of Christ, how gingerly must I deal with it? How lovingly must I interact with His body? And they're getting together as a church to take that communion, and they're not discerning, this is the Lord's body. I've got to be careful. I've got to have respect. I've got to have love. I've got to esteem others better than myself. This is His body. And they didn't do that, and they dropped like flies. Like Carl Ackie preaching that message about kicking the bride, you know.
Yeah.
Discern, guys. Look, why do people, when they leave a church, why don't they just leave the church and shut their mouth and not hurt the body?
Amen.
I don't want to affect negatively the body of Christ. If I'm going to do my own thing, okay, do my own thing. But I don't want to hurt the body. Ooh. God loves the church. He gave Himself for the church. And the church is His body. And how you treat the church is how you treat Jesus Christ. And what you think about the church is what you think about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Discernment. Well, the last thing I'll push. He said in chapter 11, I see another truth here. Not the body which is you. Not the body which is the church. We need to be involved in edifying that body. By the way, you know what Hebrews 13 says, verse 3? It says, you know, those people that are bound, He says, as bound with them. And then He says, as members also of the body. How about that? The mystery of the body in the book of Hebrews. That's Hebrews 13:3. Somebody's suffering, you suffer with them. Why? Because they're part of the body too. Somebody bound for Christ is bound with Him. Why? Because they're part of the body too. And you love the body. And you're giving your life for the body. Not just a man-made church. It's God's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is what? My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. This was not just an offense against the body which was the Lord's. That's me, because I didn't judge myself. This is not only an offense against the Lord's body, which is the church, but this was an offense against the Lord's body, the person of Christ, the physical body of Christ that had been broken for them, and they were not remembering that physical sacrifice of that body, and that body was now up in heaven, as we heard preached last night, and that body was interceding for them, and that same body was going to come again. The whole purpose of community says at the end, we're doing this till He comes. We're thinking about that body. That body that was broken, that body that was risen, that body that ascended, and the body that's coming back down. And they were going through their life and they had no discernment of that body. They had a Christian life without the person of Christ in the middle. And they're not thinking about it. Have you ever sat down and think about those nails in the hands and the spear in the side, and the crown of thorns on them? As the writer said, I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. You ever thought about that body? You know why most Christians don't live for Jesus Christ? They've not discerned the depths of the sufferings of the body of Christ on their behalf. They've not discerned the deepness of that love and the deepness of that commitment and the deepness of that sacrifice. And they've not discerned that He's that same body's up in heaven for them. We've been hearing preached, and that same body is coming again. And we know that truth of that body coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is not prevalent on people's minds, because he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. And there's not much in it. You know why? Because you can live the Christian life and not discern the Lord. What do you do to get it? Exercise. What do you do to get it? Ask for it. What do you do to get it? Let somebody teach you about it. What do you do to get it? Let the Spirit of God work that in you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You for this good church. And Lord, I pray that You would grant discernment, Lord, to Your people about how precious Your body, the church, is, about how great a sacrifice you gave us with your own flesh and blood. And Lord, that we would understand this tabernacle in which we live and walk is not ours, but it's yours. And Lord, may you give us good discernment today and deliver us from that blindness. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name.